Well, dear brethren, it's a good holiday that we have this week. It celebrates the thankfulness that we should all have for the good things that the Lord has provided in our lives. And this is, I know there's a Thanksgiving in Canada as well, but this is a unique North American holiday. If you go back into the history, of course, it was originally envisioned as a replacement for Christmas by the Protestants who were hoping to move away from the recognition of what was essentially a Catholic holiday. That part certainly didn't work out, but it's still a good idea to have the harvest and the Thanksgiving that goes with it. But that's the actual explanation, if you dig back, as to why the Thanksgiving date for the United States is so late. It's in November as opposed to a more sensible time in October like the Canadians have. But how much we have to be thankful for and how much the Scriptures say on the subject of thankfulness and thanksgiving. Paul says this to the Colossian brethren in Colossians 2:7, that our object is to be rooted and built up in him, that is in Christ Jesus, established in the faith as we have been taught. So it's, you know, there's always the thought of the importance of study. It's not just that we're going to open up the Bible and it's going to come to us, or that we're going to get a special revelation. But there's a need for us to be together. And when we think of that which we are thankful for, really the brethren and the insights into the Heavenly Father's plan of the ages are things that give us great cause for thanksgiving. But he says we should be abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I just like the thought of this beautifully rooted tree here being a picture of what each of us is trying to do year by year as we grow in the Lord and are built up in him. But the idea of thanksgiving certainly did not begin with the New Testament. No, indeed. It goes back into the law. And we read this in the Psalms. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, our thanksgiving isn't necessarily the voice of praise in a song. It can be the quiet, reflective type. So there's the outward demonstration, and when you're spilling over with thankfulness, song just comes so naturally. But then there's the quiet, reflectful, mindful prayer. And we're going to talk a little about that and go over some suggestions for increasing thanksgiving in each of our lives. We will indeed want to praise the Lord in him as an expression of this thanksgiving. And I just really love the hymn we opened with. I realize some of the pictures may be a little small, but I hope some of you who could see the little mother bird protecting her two little nestlings under her wings. It's such a dear picture. The question we have is there a method for cultivating mindfulness and thanksgiving in our lives? And I know every family has their own customs. In our family, the custom is to go around the table, starting with the eldest, kind of as a giveaway on age, and going around and just asking each one to share a little testimony of something they're thankful for during the year. In view of the fact that my daughter and her boyfriend got engaged just before Thanksgiving dinner. Things kind of went up in smoke this year, but usually that's what we do, brethren. We didn't this year, but that's typically our custom, and that will be our custom in the future. One thing that we can use is gratefulness and thanksgiving, and that's actually something that we can practice and cultivate in our lives. And think about each day. In the morning, I think all of us want to have that quiet time of reflection. And as we think about our relationship with the Lord, each and every day we want to have our earliest thought be, what can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? And to take up the cup of blessing. We have cause, you know, right away when we look at that scripture, the way in which the Lord has blessed us should bring forth thanksgiving from our earliest thought. But we can think about ways to cultivate thanksgiving. And I'm going to suggest 4 points. Acknowledgement. Confession. That's part of it. Keeping a vision of the holy. And then actually raising our voices in thanksgiving. If you turn it into song, it really stays with you, dear ones. And as an example, I thought it would be good to consider something very familiar to us, but this is the prayer of Jonah that we find in chapter 2 of his book. I don't know if anybody recently has quoted an earlier reprint than reprint 92, but I'm going to put reprint 92 up here with a quote that this prayer holds a type of the history of the nation of Israel since Jesus left their house desolate. A suggestion there that does fit beautifully. Of course, our Lord also refers to this in Matthew 12:40 as a type. But as we recall, Jonah surely was in the midst of trial and the storms of life. He was fleeing God because he was upset. And he was upset with God's graciousness. So that story is one that we need not go into the details of because we all know it. But we're told that then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I. He didn't expect to make it if he's calling it the belly of Sheol. He thought that this was going to be his grave. And thou heardest my voice, even in the depths, even in the belly of the whale. Jonah's voice was heard. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. So we said there has to begin, our thanksgiving has to begin with really an acknowledgement of our undone condition. Of course, as we continue to make progress in the narrow way, there is an uplift and an improvement. But as Brother Ken pointed out last Sunday, we're never going to be perfect. And we need to acknowledge our undone condition and have that continued humility of mind for what the Lord has done for us. But then, what does he do next? And what do we need to do to increase our thanksgiving? The next phrase. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, for those of you who are saying, well, what holy temple is that shown up here on the screen? That's actually one of the models for Ezekiel's temple. And that's the temple that is going to be there for the blessing of mankind. in the kingdom. And that's what Jonah was holding on to. He wanted to see the holy temple. What's the holy temple that we see? Well, brethren, as we look about, we're looking at living stones in that holy temple that are being shaped, that are being polished. In some cases, a pretty heavy hammer has to knock off some of the rough spots on the stone to prepare it so that it's going to noiselessly fit into the great holy temple. But the holy temple we look upon is each and every one of our dear brethren in the truth. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped around my head. And it must have, I just think that Jonah must have, if you have something wrapped around your head, what would you do? Well, naturally you'd pull it off, but clearly Jonah's arms must have been, you know, jammed in such a way that it was impossible for him to take these weeds off his head. And he specifically remembers it, and it was horrible. He didn't like the feeling of having the seaweed wrapped around his head. And yet, we know from the accounts of latter-day Jonahs, because there were more than one whaler who did get taken up into the belly of a whale and survived for more than a day, the seaweed wrapped around his head actually was something that was a blessing and preservative to him, because you start to get the stomach acids attacking anybody down there in the belly, and that would be a protection. You'll notice Jonah, what's his problem when he gets out of the belly of the fish? He's always sensitive to the sun, right? The whalers who got captured by whales in the 19th century always came out with their skin being sensitive to the sun the rest of their life. So we know this was an accurate account. He says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. That's a real thought that we need to hold on to. Have we been brought up from corruption, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and yet we've been called to a calling that even the angels in heaven don't have the opportunity to have? The high calling, calling to the divine nature. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. And the following, the closing scripture for this really fits in so nicely with, for those of us who were upstairs in the second volume study, and we were talking about the purpose of the time of trouble. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee. Was he talking about a sacrifice, bringing in a bullock, sacrifice of bringing in a ram? No, he clarifies it. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay that I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. And that's a beautiful prayer in storm and in trial that all of us need to hold in our hearts. Because at the end, what was Jonah going to say? The anger at what the Lord was doing was gone. And all he wanted to do was to see the Lord's holy temple again and raise his voice in thanksgiving. So we're talking about the 4 points linked to Thanksgiving. And the first one is acknowledgement of our Heavenly Father. Thanksgiving should be preceded by acknowledging Him and preparing our hearts. And, you know, we have this picture of the Pleiades that are up there. We think about the heavenly realms. Of course, you know, they're going to be something far beyond. That's just something we can conceive of and look at in the night sky. But the heavenly realms are not, you know, just that we're going to look at some specific star system. The spiritual realm is something we can't even comprehend. We can't even comprehend it, brethren. And yet, from that realm, our Lord has called us. Now, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, he cried by reason of his affliction, and the Lord heard. The Lord heard his voice. The Lord is aware of when the sparrow was offered. And the Lord is aware of our needs. Our needs great and our needs small. But we need to acknowledge at the beginning that He is a faithful God who is aware and wants to bless us. Thanksgiving should be preceded by our confessing our sins, period, to God. And when we look at Jonah, he said he cried by reason of his affliction. Well, why was he afflicted? He was afflicted because he had done a sinful thing. He had been given a direct instruction by the Lord, and he tried to do everything he could to move to the other end of the world. It says that the ship was going to Tarshish, so that is believed to be modern Cadiz, Spain. That would have been a Phoenician seaport at the end of the world in his day. You know, he's trying to get away. And God brought him back. But when we look at Thanksgiving, especially in the midst of trials, what carries us through? It's this vision of the holy. It's the vision of the Lord's temple. And I don't know about you, but when I think about what our brethren share in testimonies over the years, and sometimes it'll be a testimony that goes back maybe decades from one of the brethren who is not on this side of the veil anymore, but has entered into the glory and has entered into the joys of the Lord. That gives me strength, brethren. That gives me strength. So, in trials, we need to envision the holy. Jonah said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will again look towards thy holy temple. And thanksgiving should flow from our hearts, but to our voice. Now, not everybody is a singer, but everybody does have the blessings of being able to put on beautifully sung hymns and to have that filling your mind and just giving us this feeling of what the Lord has done and why we should be thankful. And with the voice of thanksgiving, he said, I will pay that which I have vowed, for salvation is of the Lord. Now, we know that Jonah must have paid his vow. I mean, we know he went and did what the Lord asked him to do after this little excursion. But I, you know, there's nothing in the account about him actually getting to the temple and offering a sin offering. But I think that we can be sure that probably happened at some point. Either before he went to Nineveh or after, and I would think before personally, but that's a question that I leave open for your consideration. And we read in the 50th Psalm, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. So our consecration is everywhere linked back with this thought of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and the two being together. And we're told further in Psalm 107:22 to sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Why would that be a sacrifice? Why wouldn't that be a joy? But the Lord counts our words and our heart's intention and our thankfulness as a pleasing and acceptable thing in His sight. That's an offering unto Him. And to declare His works with rejoicing. And I'm putting up here a few examples from some of the blessings that the Bible student, that the Present Truth Movement had 100 years ago in the Pastor's Day. But these have not ended. These are privileges that we still have, brethren, and ones that we really should just have so much thankfulness when we get these opportunities to declare His works with rejoicing, especially in these troubled times where people's hearts are failing them for fear. And Philippians says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what special element? With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. We're told to sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving and sing praises upon the harp unto our God. And we think of the time when all voices of mankind are going to be raised in thanksgiving unto our Heavenly Father. So these are what I'm hoping you take away from this is that when you renew your consecration each day, and I urge you to do that, to renew your consecration each day. Renew it with thanksgiving, for we have so much to be thankful for. But let's look at one other practical way of doing it. You know, as our eyes greet the morning, we need to remind ourselves that we have eyes to see while millions are blind, literally blind. But if we talk about spiritual blindness, it's billions, brethren. And the privilege we have, again, of seeing the vision made plain before us. When we then open our eyes with this thought, chances will be that we'll be more grateful for the gift of sight and more alert to the needs of those who lack the gift. I think that phrase is really important. It's not just that, thank you, Lord, that I can see what you're doing and the rest of the world's going to go into the time of trouble. That's not the attitude we want to have. We want to be thankful for the sight we have, but alert to the needs of those who are so troubled that their hearts are failing because they don't have that gift. They don't have that gift. And before I read the words on this, I just really was moved by this picture of this is mankind here. You know, hope is just kind of a graffiti on the wall, and maybe the head's uplifted, but the eyes are closed, just not knowing what's going to happen. Oh, that we could open the eyes of the world to the fulfillment of their unspoken hopes, because they're prisoners of hope. They're prisoners of hope. And yet, What message can we proclaim? Christ has come. Oh, that's a real cause for thanksgiving. So consider this. Before turning off the light in the evening, have a little pad by your bed and jot down one thing, just one thing, for which you've never before given grateful thanksgiving. And start making a notebook. But just do one thing. One of the Lord's dear ones that has done this for years testifies that the supply seems inexhaustible. So much to be thankful for. Gratefulness brings joy to life. Once we stop taking things for granted, there is no end to the surprises and the delight that we can find, the causes of thanksgiving. A grateful attitude is a creative one and a giving one. And I know I've shown this picture that's on the left before because I just love it. You really have something that can only happen in Christ. You have three world cultures, Brother Cristino Miranda from India in the center, Brother Bob Goodman that we know so well, shaking hands with Brother Eliezer Jejuko. And I think some of us just read about some trials that he'd had when his house was broken into and his laptop computer was stolen 2 weeks ago. But here, everybody is coming together and rejoicing, and we are thankful, and we're trying to find ways not to increase our own wealth, but to spread the spiritual joy, to spread this and to share the thanksgiving with others. And by the Lord's grace, there's going to be a Pan-African seminar in April of this coming year. And we are now expecting, I'm going to get the latest count, but we're expecting brethren from over 7 African countries, plus Brother Cristino from India to come together in Accra, Ghana. And we really look forward to the blessing. In the final analysis, the opportunities we have to share and to witness are the gift for every given moment. And I just have to show two brethren who really sacrifice a great deal so that they can witness to the Lord's goodness. And the Lord bless them for that. I mean, there's the natural gifts that we should be thankful for. Our natural gifts are the opportunities to see and to hear. To the extent that we still have strength, I know some of us are feeling the infirmities of age, but we have these natural senses that give us taste and pleasure. And you know, you say, well, we shouldn't really do that because that's not spiritual. But Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. He said to consider them. That was our Lord's own words. Because though they toil not, neither do they spin, yet they were arrayed in a glory that exceeded Solomon's. And so, just in a natural way, there are the pleasures that we have. But when we consider what God has done spiritually, there is no more joyful bond than the one that gratefulness celebrates, the bond between the Heavenly Father, the giver, and ourselves, the thanksgivers. So that's what we do. And you know, when you bless others, you're blessed yourself. As St. Paul assured the beloved brethren in Corinth, troubled but beloved, thanksgiving leads to liberality and sharing of God's gifts. And he concludes with this thought, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We read that in 2 Corinthians 9:15. David said, "Oh, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works." And what are the wondrous works we want to share? Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And brethren, as always, we want to do all of this with a recognition of the great blessing we've had of seeing, of being honored. It's called an honor to know the Heavenly Father's plans and wills by seeing His plan for mankind, for all the world. And may the Lord add His blessings, and may your thankfulness be increased, we pray.